Oh, this gospel is hilarious. I mean, it is absolutely funny. And if you're not following, I'll recap for you. Because every time I've heard this gospel, I've always had sort of an image in my head of what's going on, right? So first and foremost, the person of Zacchaeus is always played by Danny DeVito for me. I don't know why, right? I've been told he's like 5'1", maybe he's that tall. I'll take someone else's word for it, right? But like, it's always been Danny DeVito with that wild shock of sort of dark black hair, sort of balding, right, you know? And he's always just sort of been that roly-poly, right? And the gospel tells us this is a rich man, the chief tax collector, somebody who is of great importance. And we know, like, you know, rich people don't tend to put on, like, their tree-climbing clothes all the time, right? If they're kind of going out and about, they've got their nice duds on. They've got, you know, the kind of, like Patrick's suit, right? I mean, something nice. Somebody else picked out that tie for you, I see. It's excellent, right? You know, so you have sort of all the good things, the sort of the exciting things of what looks good, right? So you don't generally go out and be like, I'm going to climb a tree today. And it's hilarious, right? Because in my mind, I always sort of imagine like Zacchaeus just being so overwhelmed and so excited. He gets up there and he's climbing that tree. And, you know, if you've ever gone to like a book signing or maybe like a concert where your favorite person, you want to get their autograph, right? Their attention is generally sort of down around the crowd at eye level. They're kind of being overwhelmed with people, right? So this is idea always in my head that Jesus gets to the tree and he's like, there are eyes up there, right? And so he kind of looks up and smiles, says, Zacchaeus, come on down here. I got to eat with you today. And always in my head, now this, it does not say this in the gospel, this is my imagination, right? That I sort of imagine that like Zacchaeus on his way down like misses a branch, right? And so then this physical comedy of, you know, Danny DeVito falling out of a tree. I mean, that's my imagination, right? Just, you know, and he's there, right? And just sort of the joy of that moment, the humor of that moment. But the danger is if we reduce Zacchaeus just to sort of a comedic trope. Right, if we reduce Zacchaeus to just a simple bit character in the gospel, we're missing a lot of important things. I mean, namely, we're missing all of the previous chapter, right? So this story, you know, for those of you who are playing, you know, the home game, starts in chapter 19. And 19 begins Zacchaeus and this whole story about, you know, as Jesus moves toward Jerusalem. But all of chapter 18, we've heard a couple of those stories in the last couple of weeks. You know, we heard the story of the persistent widow, right? That the disciples say, how do we pray? And Jesus says, well, be persistent like this widow. Another great story in Luke, you know, this image of this woman sort of going to punch a judge, because that's actually what it says in the Greek, right? Or this act of humility, right? Then we get the parable of humility with the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? This beautiful juxtaposition between these two characters in the temple, and Jesus is pointing to the one who had humility. And then after that, we don't get that in this sort of series of readings in this year of our gospel tradition, but the story immediately after that is when they bring them children, and people are saying, no, take the children away, and Jesus is like, no, bring the children, that's important, they're important, they're a big deal, bring the children, bring the childlike, bring those who are coming with us. Then we also have the story immediately after that of the rich official. Right? This is all in 18. This is all in chapter 18, right? A lot of really good stuff. And the rich official says, hey, I followed the commandments. I've done good. What else do I need to do? And Jesus sort of says that famous line of like, give all you have to the poor and come and follow me. Right? And that line afterwards where, you know, the rich young man sort of goes away sad because he's got a lot of stuff. And then finally, you know, Jesus sort of almost pontificating just says, how hard is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God, right? So we've set up this story with all these parables, all these ways of prayer. Like Zacchaeus as a story just isn't plopped in Luke at 19 for the sake of fun. Like it's actually building on something. And if we give ourselves permission to let Zacchaeus be a real character, to be really in flesh, to be somebody of great importance, in fact, I would say a model for us, then we're taking this a little deeper. We're going a little deeper. Because Zacchaeus is showing us the possibilities that even though it is really hard for the rich person to enter the kingdom of God, Zacchaeus can do it. And that, my friends, is that great mercy, that great abundant love that God described. It's described of God in that first reading today, right? And I love that image that God, to all of creation, you know, all of creation to God is a little speck of water. A grain of wheat, Right? All of our understanding of the universe, if you've ever seen those like Hubble pictures and just how magnificent it is and it's just awe-inspiring, or if you look up and how big it seems, all of that's just a grain of water, a drop of water for God. God is that much bigger. And yet it says immediately after that, God loves all of his created things. God loves all of his created things, right? The trees, the water, but most importantly for me, all of you. Right? God loves each and every one of you. Right there, boom, flat, we got that. Wisdom is telling us that God desires to be in relationship with all of his created things, even though to God we're tinier than water. And so we know that if, you know, this example of Zacchaeus can actually permeate into our hearts, that that's an example of the, you know, God has set up the terms. We know how hard it is for the rich. We know how hard it is for those who are on one side of the world to enter into the kingdom of God. And Luke gives us the example of somebody doing just that. That even the most difficult thing can make that happen. But it isn't just that he does it, it's the way that he does it. Because he gets in touch with a part of him that, you know, there are a lot of programs that would call that your inner child or your authentic self. You know, that Zacchaeus doesn't just sort of say, well, I need to climb a tree, but there's a moment in him, I believe. If we allow him to have this moment of, I know what I'm doing. In fact, I'm responding to a joy, maybe a childlike joy. If you want to see joy, you know, tell some of the kids in here that they get to go to the playground afterwards, right? And go on the jungle gym, right? I mean, have you ever seen, like, kids, like, you know, they may be two blocks away, but they're running because they get to go on their favorite, you know, their favorite thing. Maybe it's the swing. Maybe it's the jungle gym. What's your favorite thing? What's your favorite thing to sort of climb on? The slide. High five for that, right? You know, going on the slide is the best. Mine was the little merry-go-round thing that made everyone sick after they were done. Like, that was my favorite. I don't think they have them anymore. But, you know, or we all, in my neighborhood at least, we had the tree, right? You had the perfect tree. The tree that did not need a sign to say, climb me, but it should, you know, it just might as well have, right? Because the branches were at the perfect height. And that moment of, like, climbing a little higher, and I remember kind of, you know, year after year getting a little higher, a little more brave, realizing that that branch isn't going to hold me, and just sort of, like, you know, getting to that point. Thanks be to God, I survived my childhood, right? Like, you know, there's, you know, but I also remember that incredible feeling of, like, being high in this tree and feeling the wind blow the tree, right? And moving and swaying with that, like really just sort of being in nature, in creation, God loving the tree, God loving me, just in that beautiful, wonderful moment. And it was sort of the most childlike I could be. It was the most sort of, you know, innocent that I could be in that sort of wonderful moment, and allowing the joy just sort of to permeate that moment. And perhaps just for a brief glimpse in this moment of chaos, in this moment of judgment, because we'll talk about that in a second, that Zacchaeus allows himself to feel that joy. And then it begins to make sense what else happens. Right? It suddenly makes sense why Zacchaeus would see Jesus and suddenly have that moment of, like, I'm going to change. I'm going to transform my entire life. Right? Because in all of this, Zacchaeus comes down and does more than what's prescribed. He says, I will give half of all that I have away to the poor. Immediately, he's listening to the prophet, you know, the John the Baptist in chapter 3 says, you know, if you have two cloaks, give one away, right? He's already listening to the prophetic voices. He's already responding. And to anyone he's harmed, you know, the Old Testament sort of prescribes that if you took something from someone, you know, to make that right, you had to give them back what the value of that was, plus 20%. And Zacchaeus goes above and beyond and says, hey, if I've taken anything from anyone, if I have wronged anyone, not only will I give them back what they deserve, right, the what I took from them, but I'll give them four times that amount. Right? Zacchaeus is transformed. And if we allow that moment, because it's a reaction to this sort of childlike joy, this desire to climb a tree, this desire to sort of, you know, be childlike in this moment that we're sort of invited to, right, all of those different stages, we see the miracle of how even the richest person can find the mercy of God. And I love the parallel here, right? Because here, it's the people who like Jesus who are kind of grumbling, like, hey, this rich guy, he's going to go eat with him? I can't believe he's going to eat with this rich guy. You know, in chapter 15, it was the Pharisees and the scribes grumbling because Jesus was eating with the poor people. Like, I can't catch a break, you know? But it's, you know, how much in our lives are we often, perhaps, at least I can only speak for myself, that every so often, like, oh yeah, God loves me, but I don't know if God loves that person, them over there, because they're different. You know, because they don't fit my idea of what it means to be rich or poor or needy or deserving or any of those things. And this is where God's magnificent love goes even deeper and says, yeah, your idea of justice isn't sufficient enough. That your idea of justice has to go deeper. Your idea of love has to go deeper. And this is the great moment for us, because I really think that if we can, you know, orient our hearts to this childlike wonder, if we can kind of claim those moments of play. You know, for me today, play isn't climbing a tree because I'm a little too big. But play is maybe actually taking time to enjoy that cup of coffee in the morning. You know, play might not be cup of coffee because that's not your jam, but it might be like listening to something on the radio and just savoring that moment. Or maybe witnessing your own children's joy. Or any number of different things. In fact, we all have that perfect tree in our life. We all have that thing that is just asking us to get in touch with our childlike selves. Even here, in this Eucharist, we have an opportunity to approach a table with a kind of childlike joy, a joy that invites us to say, what was it like when I received Eucharist the first time? What was it like to believe in magic? What was it like to believe that something so small, so plain, so ordinary can truly and really, and we believe this, right, be transformed into the body and blood of Christ? Can our children inside us help us make that happen? And so I have only one question for you today. What tree do you need to climb? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.